see, it's all to do with Ultron, Emma, because Phil has just said, Alex, neither my speaker nor my microphone seem to be working on my phone. He's rebooting now.
Oh, gosh.
He has actually given us another alternate number to actually call through, which would be, again, another 001 sort of number, which seems extraordinary from that point of view. Maybe, Emma, it is Ultron, clearly.
You know,
We've stepped into that.
It's a curse. He's taken over all electronic devices.
It was originally designed by Hank Pym, you see. And then, of course, the Vision manifested from that point of view. And Hank Pym, it's very strange. Would you like to... Let's dial that number again. Let's see if you can get through, if we can work that Emma Tennyson superheroic magic before we actually try to something completely different on the sort of sequence. Meanwhile, Penny has actually reminded us that she's going to be singing in Buxton Spring Fair on Monday. Yay! In morning... and the afternoon, and then she's also got her first ever gig at the Hydro Buxton, Derbyshire, UK. The Hydro Buxton. I think it's a Hydro. It's a Hydro in Buxton, Derbyshire. Thank you. She's going to be performing the original Rose of Summer, which actually we should actually dig out again, and a whole range of songs and musicals, including the Frozen number from Disney.
There seems to be no hope with this phone number.
And yet he has just said the phone lines seem to be sorted on the usual number.
Oh, OK. Right, I will try again.
Dial 9, put that 001 for the United States in place, and let's see if that will actually connect us together and somehow bring Phil Learness to the show, even though it'll be pretty much the sort of usual slot, about 22 minutes to go.
I know.
Who knows what happened, you know, but we have tried. If all else fails, we could always go for Rocket Man featuring William Shatner. No, I wouldn't be so cruel as to actually turn around and actually give you that particular aspect. Not at all. A reminder, of course, coming up on the show, later on the show, on Siren 107.3 FM.
Ah, oh, hurrah. Phil is on the line.
So I'll transfer him over to this line, and I'll go to this, and we'll say, Phil Learness, welcome to a usual 20 to 7 time slot when we did actually try and call you at 6:30. I think it's Ultron. That's what's happened. How are you anyway?
It is that age of Ultron.
Yeah.
You know, first we went into the age of Aquarius, and now we're in the age of Ultron, where everything's in retrograde.
Yeah.
You know, look, I've been spending a lot of time, as you know, with actors, teaching an acting class, and one of the things I've now learned is you need many, many takes before you get something right.
Well, that's true. And before we actually forget, I must give a plug to Rebecca and Siren Lifestyle. This follows the show in the live sequence at 7 o'clock, or indeed 11 a.m. in Los Angeles time, when they'll be talking more about dementia and a whole heap of other important systems and lines from that point of view.
What about me made you think of dementia? We may never know.
We do wonder,
however, why you didn't plug that, I don't know, during the minutes when you couldn't get me on the line. As opposed
I was
to when
just
you
in
did.
The process of doing that.
And we were having so much fixated on getting you on the show, Phil.
Penny Evans has had our fingers crossed to actually ensure that we get you, and we have. So there we are. That's great. I started off this morning by listening to Phil Learness talking with Ian Haglund on the latest edition of the Chillpack Hollywood thing.
Fantastic.
Hence the reason I was quoting it early in the show. I don't know if he's listened to any of the show, of course, but that's up to him, really.
I've listened to a little bit. I mean, I've had to prep several, you know, we're in the finishing stages here of The Lady Killers. We had a screening of it last week, and so I've made a series of modifications.
You've put some music
based
in.
Based on that screening, And so I've been setting several reels to render because I know that we're going to have a post-show conversation. So I needed to prepare autopilot, as it were. So I've only been able to drop in at various times this morning, but I did drop in long enough to apparently realize that when you hear Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's been translated for our audiences across the Atlantic. And things like Dean Haglund doing a painting.
Yes.
A painting of Doberman that's based on a classic movie about Dobermans.
Raiding a bank. Exactly.
That somehow has been translated into he's doing a comic strip series.
He's doing one big canvas. Yes.
One big canvas. 1 7-foot canvas he's doing.
And can that not go... What about the alternate markets? Can it not go into sequential storytelling?
You've got to think about the alternate options, you know.
Do you go to like a traveling Monet exhibit and come away talking about oh my goodness, his graphic novels were excellent.
Absolutely. Same with any of the great artists. Leonardo da Vinci, great comic strip artist, kind of led the way for Brian Bolland. There we are. Carry on.
You know how you know that they're good is because you call them artistes and not merely artists.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the dividing line, don't you think?
Precisely.
It is. It makes it more fancy and professional and sleek.
In so many ways, like the promos and jingles that Phil has put together in every sense of the word for the programme. In fact, we haven't done the E.T. jingle for quite some time. We should do that.
And it is a great jingle.
It is. There's also an alternate version of the E.T. jingle that we could actually work on as well for this particular aspect, which I'm not sure whether we've actually played that for the listener. There's E.T. and then there's E.T. alternate, or alternate, as in alternate universe.
To many people, the letters E.T. signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For Midweek Drive aficionados, E.T. will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson. Who wrote this? I didn't write this. I'm American. E.T. stands for Entertainment Tonight. Nevertheless, Emma Tinson is all sorts of awesome.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. Thanks, Phil.
That could be a voicemail greeting.
Yeah, it could. I might actually make that my new voicemail greeting. Yeah. It's really good. It's
you know,
how epic it
Alex,
is.
Alex, yeah, it is epic. It is epic. And it makes me think much like what people said about some parts of the movie, my movie that we previewed, it would move faster with a little music under it.
Yeah.
So,
What's this thing, Phil, about 22 seconds being just far too much for people to concentrate on?
Now you did listen.
Yes.
You did listen. Okay, so this is great. Look, we made, as you know, this is a really, really dark comedy that we made, and it deals with really, really some dark subject matter. How dark? I'm going to find a little blurb review that was written of the preview to share with you. But the point is that everybody would come up and say that there were certain parts of the movie that were too long, but no two people ever said the same part. So what became very apparent to me was that most of these people, of course, it was long for them when they were really uncomfortable by what they were seeing. So there was this one scene that involves an inappropriate teacher-student relationship, and we don't let it off the hook. We don't let this become fantasy. We don't let it become comedy. We want it to really pack a punch so that everyone understands how inappropriate this is. And people said that this one scene, oh man, it didn't need to be that long. It didn't need to be that long. It didn't. And yeah, I timed it, and it actually turned out to be only 22 seconds.
Yeah, but that could be a lifetime, Phil, you know? I mean, every Wednesday, 7,200 seconds, we try to squeeze the juice out of every one of those at Lyotis.
Honestly. I mean, how long did it feel during those attempts to reach me when my phone was not
distressing.
Yeah, it took a good 700 seconds, which we had to go on to fallback position A to actually get ourselves. I was tempted to get Nick Fury in, to be honest. Have you seen it? Have you seen it as yet?
Just before we move on, I found this blurb from a reviewer. Mm. It was sent to me, and just in anticipation of what he's going to write, and this gives one a certain sense of how dark our movie is. He wrote to me, "Leave it to a genius to meld together rape, molestation, lying, cheating, physical abuse, mental abuse, and murder, and mix it all into a dark, delicious, dramatic comedy." Well done.
Right.
So there you go. And so you understand a little bit why it's not for the faint of heart. Anyway, you were asking me, have I seen what, Alex? What's
Avengers it? Age of Ultron.
Is it out in America yet?
The Age of Ultron. No, it is not out, though there have been many, many preview screenings. And I'm going to wait quite a while, because I know how badly I'm going to be disappointed if I see it too quickly. The stench of underwhelming, disappointment is on this thing in America. It'll do big, big business, of course, to start, but the reviews have not been kind. The comparisons are to Man of Steel, which was not well liked here, and also to Iron Man 2. Like one reviewer wrote, "Hope you liked Iron Man 2." So, it felt like they made a misstep with this one.
I would, as we were talking about this with Emma earlier, Emma saw it in IMAX, but she's going to go see it again just to check. The Stan Lee cameo, it's there. Thumbs up for that. Great.
It's possibly one of the best things in the film.
I thought.
That's not.
I thought Wanda the Scarlet Witch and Pietro were pretty much on form. They were good. I like the Vision. I thought Paul Bettany's the Vision, very good.
There were many.
Lots of positives.
Yeah.
But the tendency that is indeed, I think it was Dean Haglund. I've cited his name so many times. You'd think he'd be almost on the show. No, of course it's Phil Lynas. Dean just doesn't speak to us these days, probably because we can't sort out whether it's a comic strip or whether it's a giant sort of portrait that he's actually doing. However, he coined the phrase over Man of Steel. I think it was destruction porn.
Actually,
I felt as I was sitting in the cinema in what, to be fair, I'd gone for the upgrade. I thought, what the hey? Couldn't get to the Yorkshire Harrogate Spring Flower Show, so made the decision to go and see Avengers: Age of Ultron. See the sort of seats, and I thought. And it as I said, certainly for me, better movies: Captain America: Winter Soldier, Iron Man 3, and the first Avengers movie, all kind of much better.
I wouldn't compare it to Iron Man 2, though. It's a lot better than that.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
It's definitely a good film, but I agree.
Except that Iron Man 2 at least did keep that tone that has made Marvel so much more resonant than the DC movies.
And
of
I was
late.
Probably depressed.
And I feel like this movie actually starts to veer into DC tone. And that's surprising to me because, they had DC on their heels.
Guardians of the Galaxy, much better movie all round. But the final thing, I won't say depressed because that sounds tragic, but I was saddened by the fact that having waited, as I do, right to the end credits, all we get is the Avengers will return.
I watched, because there's a mid-credits scene.
There's a mid
which
team.
Is
yeah,
very you, short, yeah. disappointingly I'll, short.
It's Thanos reaching for the glove.
And,
no spoilers, but there we are.
But yeah, and I'd heard rumours that there wasn't going to be an end credit scene, but I thought I'll
Ant-Man.
Sit there anyway.
Exactly.
Because there's loads of Marvel stuff coming up. There must be something.
Yeah,
and I sat there and...
All the Korean actors, all the other sort of folk there.
Well, one of the cinema attendees came up to me and actually said, "There's no point waiting." And I kind of felt like saying, "I've paid for my ticket,
exactly.
I will sit through the credits."
But at the same time,
I was very disappointed. So
the question I'm beginning to wonder is whether they've spread themselves too thin. Agent Carter was a very good limited series, but it did not get an audience. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't even understand the point anymore. It just seems to be a show that is in business to stay in business. They're spinning that off with characters. Someone asked, "Do you really think these characters can support their own spinoff?" I don't even know if the characters on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have yet proven they can carry a show. And I just think the reason is that, maybe the creative brain trust behind all the Marvel cinematic enterprises and television enterprises are starting to get spread thin.
Well,
let's
hope that's not the case, Phil. I'm sure that Ant-Man will
because
actually restore
Ant-Man's the big summer release for Marvel, and let's face it, that looks terrible. So, they're getting Spider-Man back at probably
Phil, you must, as a Hollywood guru, you must be very impressed with the fact that not one, not two, but four Robin Hood movies, including a Robin Hood and Sherwood 7 based on the Avengers, are in the pipeline. Robin Hood and his Merry Men with superpowers. Wow, exactly. So it can't all be bad. Penny Evans would like to say she loves, capital L-O-V-E, dark, capital D-A-R-K, stuff. And she knows, K-N-O-W, she's going to like The Lady Killers. Emma, have you managed to watch
No, I still haven't, because I'm still in my theory of that I should watch it all in one go.
Yeah.
and I haven't had time, but I'm going to get around to it soon because I am really excited, and Jess has said how much she enjoyed it. So
Jessica's back on the show tomorrow morning, of course, but we'll find out what Richard Fitzwilliam has made of Avengers Age of
fantastic.
Ultron.
I feel like we've given it a bit of hard press. It's not a bad film. It's good. It's still a very good film.
Good film, but didn't quite get the highs that we'd maybe hoped for. That's all, but still. We've had Star Trek Into Darkness as well, so that's another little line. So, Phil, as we approach the sort of final sequence of this, before, of course, we do a special time zone edition of Phil Leonis, which is what, of course, on Telefantasy and Society Day, how we can actually run it, Emma, without Phil Leonis being in the heart of MTech, you know, with Jamie Anderson and Shane Rimmer and the rest of the team, I don't know, but we'll cope. You know, somehow we'll have to cope. Be brave. Maybe we can have a cardboard cutout model of Phil Leonis standing in a pose, striking a pose in the background. Do you have a cardboard cutout?
You could pose me. You could pose me next to that cardboard cutout, and no one would be able to tell.
That would actually be so scary.
It's a definite thought. But anyway, we'll be talking about that because next week we can reveal, all being well, phone links, etc., that it's going to be extra special expanded Phil Leonis sequence.
Expanded.
45, 50 minutes sort of thing. A couple of musical breaks, admittedly, because after all, we know that you can't have so much Phil Leonis. You need a couple of musical breaks that sort of lined up in that. And that'll be happening, you know, in the various portals and time machines that we manifested in all sorts of ways.
I mean, Phil Leonis himself is not Phil Leonis without dance breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
The spinning round on the top, the kind of backward cap. It's the sort of thing that you brought to the fore in every sense of the word. And we appreciate you for that. It's very important. So looking for the list of discussion topics we had on the show today, music and immortality. I think Ilana managed to touch base on that.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of living in the moment.
Did she actually satisfactorily answer your question about what it was like to be an actor?
Emma, what do you think?
I think she gave it like an interesting scope from a director's point of view, looking at acting, which I find quite interesting because, like, I didn't really think of that before, that directors and filmmakers would have to sort of know the acting side of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, well, you know, look, most of them don't. And I always have thought, I mean, this is going to simplify, and of course there are so many other technical elements to it, but if you think about cinema historically, you've really got three major components, right? You've got the look of it, you've got the writing, you've got the story element, you've got the filming element, and you've got the performance element. Now, of course, we added sound, so then you have the post-production, you have the editing, you have all of this. But a director is definitely, on any project, even if there's a producer in charge of post-production, the director's in charge on the set. And so those are the three elements that they're in charge of: how you're filming it, how the story is being told, and the performance. And you'll find that most directors are almost completely unprepared and inexperienced in one of those three categories, and often two of those three categories. And it's stunning to me, and it's disappointing. And yet a lot of people are scared to admit what they don't know, so therefore they don't then try to learn it. And it's terribly exciting when people are willing to do that work, to go into what they don't know, because of course it's terrifying. It's so vulnerable. But what we found with Ilana in particular was, not only was she courageous in doing that to enhance her storytelling as a writer and director, but boy, she really did something that the best actors do, which is that whatever was going on in her life, she brought it into her performance emotionally. And she's quite a gifted performer.
We wouldn't have her on the show if she wasn't a gifted performer, Phil. It goes without saying.
We only have the talented
Absolutely.
Ones, of course.
Thanks to Cameron Tilbridge.
Well, you wouldn't.
Courtney Dickinson.
You wouldn't have her on the show unless she answered the call.
Shane
That's
and Sheila Rimmer.
The Prime Minister.
Hey, as the Fonz might have said. Annette Andre, Ilana Raine, and Phil Leonis. Last two questions for Phil Leonis, please.
Of course, Phil, have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive today?
Yes, I have.
Would you like to say happy trails, Phil Leonis?
Happy trails, Phil Leonis.
And coming up next, Rebecca and Siren Lifestyle. And I might make a little cameo appearance, I've heard.
Ooh,
I know, my Angela Ruffin dementia. So life continues. Onwards. Emma, we'll speak again very soon.
Yes.
In fact, probably in the next show.
town, it's all